After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This is a simple story about a calling Jesus made to a man who others considered him to be a thief, who was not loved in the midst of society because of his job. And perhaps he himself knew it. Nevertheless, when Jesus called him, he did not call him because he had the latest car, or because he owned mansions, or because he had a lot of money, or because of his reputation. Jesus called him because God had a purpose for him, for his life. He knew his heart. Many times, our problem as human beings is that we judge according to people's condition. All we have to do is allow ourselves to be carried away by our eyes and see someone dressed poorly as we walk on the sidewalk. And we cross to the other sidewalk because we consider the way person Y or person Z dresses does not inspire confidence in us. Let us be sincere. Sadly, this is the way it is. We are all full of prejudices, of arguments in our mind, and according to these arguments, we judge people. We judge our family. We judge our church. Sadly, we always have someone to judge, something we do not do with ourselves, which is something we should do, because by observing directly what it is in our heart, we could realize quite often that our life problem is not in others, but is in us. We interpret life. We interpret things according to who we are. And this happens again and again. And if there is something which does not allow us to recognize our mistakes, is pride, haughtiness, arrogance. Did you know that pride is one step away from taking a fall? The Bible says so. Satan himself, when he allowed his heart to be filled with pride and wanted to be equal to God, he was thrown out from the position and the place that God had given him. I have always said that, sadly, pride is like having bad breath. The whole world knows you have it, except you. Pride is like this. Pride makes us intolerant. Pride makes us turn down opportunities which God puts in front of us daily, because we consider them to be wrong. How proud or haughty our heart can be, how stubborn we are to consider that what God gives to us is wrong for us. Someone of you might smile, but it is so. As a matter of fact, pushing away the Bible and God's truth and wanting to live our life as we wish is an act of pride and haughtiness, which is what man has opened the door of his heart to. Jesus did not call perfect people. Jesus' team consisted of 12 persons in whom he forged character, whom he called and worked on. It was not easy. We have a man named Simon, who later on had his name changed to Peter, who was a quick-tempered, angry person who reacted emotionally to everything. We have Matthew, who was practically a thief, a tax collector, who charged more than he had to. Jesus had fishermen with him. It is not that being a fisherman was bad. What I am referring to is that they did not have a certain level of education. But Jesus did not care if they were fishermen, or if they had money, or if they knew or did not know how to express themselves. What he saw is what he sees each day when you get up, and he has mercy in you because you can breathe and you can open your eyes. Have you ever asked yourself, what did Jesus see in me to let me live another day? Jesus saw your heart. He did not call perfect people. Perhaps this somewhat reminds me when I was a little boy and I played soccer with my neighborhood friends. I do not know if you did the same or if you can remember, but I remember that when we were about to start playing and there were a lot of boys, we named two captains, and each captain chose boys for their team. When they were going to choose someone, they took into consideration how well he played, if he was a good defense, or a good forward, or a good goalkeeper or goalie. Based on how each captain evaluated the boys, they chose and formed their team. Forming a team depended on them, and they formed them according to the knowledge they already had about each boy, which depended on whether or how well they played, because depending on this, they would either win or lose. I imagine that if you were Jesus and it would be up to you to choose a good team to deliver a message and do a good job, who would you choose? Let us begin with your household. Let us do this exercise. I hope you get into it with me. God has called you to do something special, but you need to surround yourself with a team of 12 persons. Who will you choose to be with you in this assignment? Start thinking. I believe the names of certain individuals are coming to your mind. Now the question is, why did you choose them? Because based on the assignment you have to do, you found in them a specific talent or perhaps charisma. Who knows? You saw something in them and you said, these individuals can help me to accomplish the job I have to do. Consequently, I choose them to be part of my team. This is the way we function, but Jesus did not function in this manner. If you were in Jesus' shoes, I assure you that you will not choose a Simon, nor consider a man whose reputation was hated by others because he was a tax collector. You would not even visit him at home. You will not consider men who do not know how to express themselves. I think you will not trust either someone who likes money, who could at any moment steal part of the money you have collected. You would not choose Judah, would you? But Jesus did. In people's eyes, they were not the best. But in God's eyes, they were born with a purpose. Let me tell you that if this audio is reaching you today, it's because God has had mercy in you and because you are one whom the Father has loved and He wants to choose you for His service. Perhaps you say, but what can God see in me? Could there be something good in me? Sadly, you have been judging yourself, but not based on what God thinks of you, but based on the name you have allowed yourself to be defined by the situation. So you think that the situation defines you. You have thought that your family defines you. You have thought that people define you, and you have tried to live your life in this manner, always attempting to fit in, and in the end, you think you are not capable of anything, because when you were little, your family used to tell you that you were good for nothing. We always have the need to be accepted, loved, approved. It is something normal because God created man to be accepted, loved, and approved. But by Him, because my beloved friends, people could reject you and have no faith in you, and you will think you are no longer worth it. But God created you. He loves you, and He has not gotten tired of you. He does not reject you. Consequently, what catches my interest is this incident in Luke chapter 5:27, where there were many in the temple. Some could think that Jesus could have gone to the synagogue where there were many devout persons who could follow Him, but no, Jesus did not choose them from within the temple. Now, I hope I am making myself understood. Jesus chose them at the moment when they were engaged in their occupation, doing what they knew so they could transform their lives and align themselves to His purpose, to God's purpose. Understanding that the talent that was given to them, they had to use it in the correct manner, and perhaps they were using it wrong. Therefore, when Jesus approaches Levi, whom He saw sitting at the tax collector's booth, Jesus said these words to him, "Follow me and be my disciple." Today, God is calling you, and His motive in calling you is not only for you to open your heart so you can be saved. Glory to God for the blessing to be saved. But He is calling you so you can be His disciple. Are you listening? It is not only so you can make a commitment to a religious service in a temple. It is so you can be His disciple. And a disciple imitates his teacher. When Levi, whose name was later changed to Matthew, listened to Jesus, and this is where I am getting at, that Jesus knew their hearts. When Levi listened to him, do you know what he did? It says, he got up, left everything, and followed him. Today, God is calling you. What are you going to do? Because I believe it's not the first time that God is talking to you. It is not the first time that God is drawing close to your heart to tell you, follow me, be my disciple. Today, you could ignore these words. Perhaps you could say, well, these words in today's devotional are for those who do not know the Lord. I already go to church. I am already saved. I am already preaching. I am. Please pardon me that I talk to you like this. You are preaching. You are committed to a religious act. You are committed to a service. But are you Christ's disciple? Someone can repeat some words and receive the Lord as his Savior. But the hardest thing for him to do is accepting Jesus as his Lord. Take it easy. This happens to all of us. To the point that we had to recognize it and surrender completely. I can go to the service. I can be a worship musician. and preach beautifully? But am I really a disciple of Jesus? Do you know what are the characteristics? There are many, but the main ones I noticed here in Levi, in Matthew chapter 28 and Luke chapter 5. Do you know that Levi fulfilled three important things? Three important things. The first one, he got up. Do you know what getting up means? To leave my positions, to leave my arguments, to leave my place, to leave what I consider to be mine because I am tired of it. I want what it is yours, Lord. To get up means to change. To get up means to leave behind the status quo or my comfort zone. This is what it means to get up. He got up and manifested a movement which implied an advance in his life. Two, he left everything. I believe this is one of the things which is harder for us to do. Leave everything. Now, some will say, yes, but the Bible says that he left everything and then he prepared a banquet. A banquet at his house and he shared the word. This is the fourth point beside these three. This is the fourth point that Levi manifested. But when the Bible says that he left everything, it means that he renounced to who he was, his previous life. He manifested true repentance, which is referred to as metanoia, in order to have a change of life. And third, do you know what he did? He followed him. He followed him. He not only remained saying, yes, I believe in Jesus, thank you. Now I am going to look for a place to congregate. No, he followed him to learn from him. And lastly, do you know what he did? In the fourth point, he gave a banquet at his place so everyone would know what had happened in his life. And he talked to everyone about Jesus. Everyone who went to the banquet met Jesus. How awesome! This is what happens to those who really decide to be disciples. And not only believers. Not only people who say, these devotionals are beautiful. And forgive me, but if your life continues to be the same, it is worth nothing. Please, do you notice where you are today? Jesus tells you today, follow me, be my disciple. Are you willing? You decide. Father, I thank you for this word. Thank you, Lord, because I know that many are receiving it today, and I pray for all of them, so your presence surrounds them, and they are able to receive it. So they can live it and understand that you love them today and are calling them to a new life. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. This was a translation of a devotional delivered by your pastor and friend, Elias Hoyos. He sends you blessings.